You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is Friday, August 4th, as we're recording anyway, and I am Brian Kilby. I'm sitting here in the RFC control room in front of the RFC supercomputer. Yeah, and I'm here recording the show. And I have a few things to say. Not really. On the show today, we have Zobivor has a little rant on Hasbro and why they do not suck. John DeLuna has the ATT Buzz and recaps BotCon. I want to mention that I'm sorry that the second BotCon update from John DeLuna did not get done last week. That was my fault. I had to be up at like 4 o'clock that morning, and I couldn't pull an all-nighter to record it, so I didn't record it. Sorry about that. Goldie reviews a Transmetal 2 Dinobot. Not a Transmetal 2 Dinobot, THE Transmetal 2 Dinobot. I'll get it right here in a second. And Mottboy has a controversial Ask RFC, which I'll get into in a few minutes. Also, we have the news from Cybertron provided by Daniel Sove, and he's provided me enough for 2 weeks. Yay. And also, by no request whatsoever, we have a new Bad's Poets Corner. Oh, let me see here. Later in the week, I don't know, it may be up there by the time you listen to this, I'll have picks up from BotCon that John took. They'll be up there sometime. Also, what else? Oh yeah, WheezeBucket.com. I did an interview a while back for them, and it's finally up on the site. There's a link to that on the homepage. Also, today is August the 4th, so as of recording, as I said, August 4th, the McBeast Machine Happy Meal promotion, the Beast Machine's Happy Meal promotion, starts today, and I have yet to go out to McDonald's. I really don't intend to. If I want the toys, I'll probably get them on eBay or get a friend to get them for me, because I'm not going to spend $2 for, you know, a hamburger that's like the size of a biscuit. You know, that is sort of embarrassing, going there, and, you know, I'm like 6 feet tall. You know, 21 years old. I want a Happy Meal. No, I'm not gonna do that. Oh, I did that the last time. Felt like a fool. Also, Beast Machine Season 2 starts tomorrow, Saturday. August the 5th. May not be tomorrow for you. It is for me. Beast Machine Season 2 airs in the U.S. on Fox Kids. Check your local listings. And I will not spoil anything for you. You know, really, I think that's it. You know, that's all we have for the show this week. Because I've been pretty lazy. Now, actually, I've been launching a website for the company that I work for. I am now a paid webmaster. Not a very good one, but I'm paid. And I had to launch that, so that's like 2 months' work there. So after 2 months of hard work, it's finally paid off, and I've been extraordinarily busy, so don't expect this show or anything from me to be exceptional. Not that you would, anyway. Oh, well. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
Again, thanks to Daniel Sove for the news from Cybertron this week, and probably next week, too. Due to an explosion involving Wheelie, a ball of wax, and a malfunctioning Autobot shuttle, Perceptor was struck blind. Newsflash. It has been proven that, in fact, Beast Machines did happen. We are very sorry. Beast Mutant Leader Icebird has leveled further charges against GoBot Leader, Leader 1. Last Thursday, Earth time, that is, Icebird claimed that the GoBots got the vote by giving the mutants the shaft in their coalition. Now Icebird has leveled a more personal claim. Leader 1 looks like a big slaghead. Leader 1 could not be reached for comment as Scooter put him in traction. And finally, Punch is Counterpunch, and he's playing on both sides. Destroy him? Destroy him! That'll show him. And that is it for the news from Cybertron this week. Forgot to mention that, in fact, we also have trivia on the show. And, that's a reminder. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is John DeLuna with the ATT Buzz. It's a long one. BotCon recap. And here it is.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I've been home for a few days and have time to catch my breath. So, half of the ATT Buzz, at least half, will probably be semi-organized, semi-understandable BotCon report from yours truly, and the second half will probably be news from ATT, like usual, although the news from ATT will probably be about BotCon also, because for the next few weeks, that's all anybody's ever going to want to talk about. So, let's get started with the dealer rooms this year, and the dealer rooms this year, from what I was told, since this is my first BotCon, the dealer rooms this year were not as good as years previous. The selection was spotty, the prizes were all over the place. I mean, even common Japanese stuff like Overlord and Deathsaurus were barely there at all. There were maybe three of those in the entire convention, and they went pretty fast. Speaking of prices, WYSIWYG had the best prices. $50 each for Black Convoy and Baldigus, or Baldigus, whatever. But $50 each, which is good, especially when you consider they were $80 each 3 feet away, which makes no sense. Also, the European dealers kept their tradition of horribly overpriced stuff with $1,000 Action Masters, even though they were mint on card. $1,000, please, no, thank you, pass. Across from them, one dealer had a set of Transmetal 2 Black Arachnias for $90, whatever. Anyway, also on Sunday, this was the best part, on Sunday, the Japanese guys broke out these really rare Headmaster heads. They come in their little boxes, really nice, really rare, I guess, if you're a serious collector. So, but anyway, they had people playing rock, paper, scissors to compete for the right to buy these things. And the sad part is there were no shortage of people willing to do this. And all I can say is, if people are that desperate for this stuff, why can't we just do something cooler than rock, paper, scissors? Why can't we have one of those sweet knife fights where they strap people's wrists together and let them go at it, like two roosters or something? Next on Saturday, we had our first panel, which is John Moshita, the world's fastest talker. Actually, there's some Euro in Glasgow that says he's the fastest talker, but Moshita explained that that record is highly dubious. So anyway, for one guy up there doing a panel all by himself and trying to entertain all these fans, he did a great job. I mean, really, this panel was really entertaining, a lot better than some of the other ones later in the day. And the only bad question that I can think of or recall was some Yahoo got up and asked him, Squawk Talk was a cassette condor or bird. And he talked real fast. If he was a character, what would he sound like? I mean, what the hell kind of question is that? And Machida's response was, squawk, basically. Which was a great answer, I guess. And it calmed down the fans pretty quickly, and it got us moving along to more intelligent questions. Also, at the same time, the art room was going on with some nice examples of kit bashing, really. I mean, Rodimus Primal. I couldn't even tell what he made this stuff out of, but it was this really nice Rodimus Primal in a diorama. Also, the Jumpstarter Army. There's like 100 of these things telling a story. And some other kit bashes of famous fan-made characters like Echo Warrior. And several paintings and prints filled out the room. It was really nice. And across the way was the world's largest Transformer collection, which was quite impressive and really interesting, especially some of the Beast Machine stuff, because it featured a lot of toys that haven't been released yet, like Nightscream and Magmatron, to name a few. And Nightscream actually looks pretty nice. I can't stand Beast Machines, but I gotta admit, That toy looks nice, and it's not just the toy, I think, that makes it look nicer. It's also the packaging. The fact that his face is on there instead of Cheetor really does make a lot of difference. It really does spiff up the toy. After that, in the afternoon, the voice actors had their panel with Venus Turzo, Ian Corlett, and Alec Willows, and they were great. They had real good chemistry, which is, I guess, what you expect. I mean, they work together all the time. They were very entertaining. They're very nice and friendly, unlike Inferno's voice actor from last year, like I hear. I hear he was a drunk who didn't even want to be there, but I digress. Anyway, back to the three voice actors we did have this year. It was great, and they did lots of stuff. The only bad part of it was the questions, which is a recurring theme at this year's panel. So the questions were terrible. Somebody asked Alec Willows what he was thinking when he set up the dealer room. And I think some people asked the voice actors, why Beast Machines Ravage was a cassette in the show and a panther in Japan. Now, I don't know, I might be getting that confused with Hasbro's panel, but suffice it to say, that question was asked at the wrong time to the wrong people. It was just bad. Also, the voice actors were nice in that they had no problem using their voices for stupid stuff, like Tarantulas and Black Arachnia and Cheetor ordering at McDonald's, which was fun. And also, during the autograph sessions, they kept a stiff chin. They didn't show any signs of getting tired or fed up with the fans, and believe me, the lines for their autographs were long, both days. They signed autographs for like 4 hours straight, with no gap, no time to rest, which is pretty amazing. And after that was the best panel of the weekend, in my opinion, and it was 10 Things You Don't Know About Transformers, and that's the one that featured the public service announcements that Transformers had that were never aired or really finished. The PSAs, like G.I. Joe's Knowing is Half the Battle. In fact, all four Transformer PSAs that we were shown did use the "and Knowing is Half the Battle" tagline. The first one was Power Glide. Three kids are skateboarding in the park, and they come across this girl, and she wants to skateboard with them, but they don't let her because she's just a girl. And Power Glide comes down, gives his little don't be sexist speech and don't judge a book by its cover, and the girl busts out some like Tony Hawk moves, and all three boys are impressed and wowed, probably more by her outfit or lack thereof, and then they skate off together and Power Glide is the hero. Next one was Sea Spray, and I don't get this one at all. I didn't even catch the message of this one. Anyway, some guys are like on this yacht sailboat, and one of them adjusts the sails and knocks a kid out into the ocean. Well, Sea Spray rides up, transforms, grabs him, puts him back in the boat, saves his life, and that was about it. I mean, I don't even get that public service announcement. I mean, come on, kids, wear a life jacket, I guess. The next one was Bumblebee. And this one was classic. Two guys are walking down the road, not even down like a street. They're like walking down the highway like hitchhikers or something. And one kid is talking about running away. Well, Bumblebee jumps up, drives up, transforms, gives him the "Running away is bad, Bobby" speech, and Bumblebee is the hero. The last one was Trax. And Trax is sitting there in car mode, late night, in inner city New York, and two kids walk up, and one of them tries to break into him, but lo and behold, Trax transforms and tells him stealing is bad. Also on that panel were storyboards for scenes that were planned for Transformers the movie that didn't really make it, and I can't really go into detail, but there were two main scenes, actually, that were probably cut. One of them you can tell, actually, was Ultra Magnus. When Galvatron has the sweep kill him, it wasn't really intended for them to just shoot him. It was going to be more graphic. They were going to wrap those laser ropes around each one of his limbs and basically quarter him and pull him apart with him screaming and flying in the air the whole time, which is gruesome and cool. And if you look at the movie, it's basically planned, and it basically came out where it looks like that's what they meant to do. I mean, when the sweeps first fire their missiles, They fire straight beams. They're not lasers. You can tell. They look like ropes. They look like beams of lasers. And if you listen to the way Ultra Magnus screams, it doesn't quite match the animation. It sounds like he's screaming a little too long, and he's in a little too much pain for what's going on. Also, if you look at the way the rest of the movie is, Ultra Magnus isn't really like ravaged and thrashed like Optimus Prime or Wheeljack or Wind Chaser were. He's in pieces when the Junkions put him back together. So it all points to that scene. Also, the second scene that I'll describe was right before Optimus Prime and Megatron attack each other and have their climactic ultimate battle to the death, maybe, as the trailers say. Does Prime die? Well, I don't know. I mean, when they say that, they're showing him getting blown to the floor. Anyway, right before Megatron and Prime fight, Megatron and Prime have that little exchange with throwing your life away recklessly. Well, Prime, in the first part of that, is standing and looking just fine. Well, a couple seconds later, all of a sudden, it looks like he gets up from the floor. Well, there was a scene in between there where one of the Coneheads tries to tackle Prime, but Prime catches him with one arm, turns it upside down, is holding him by the thigh, and spikes him into the ground, all of this with one arm. And that's why Prime all of a sudden gets up off the floor. He was busy thrashing some people in the storyboard. Finally, for that panel, we also got to see some extended trailers for the movie, one of which was basically the exact same trailer they used in Japan with some missing footage and Ultra Magnus in his Diaclone colors, which look just as good, if not nicer, than the red, white, and blue that the U.S. guys used for him. And finally, to wrap up this BotCon report, the Hasbro panel was bad. It was dull. Nothing happened. We didn't learn anything, and I think you had to expect that, because once Beast Machine Season 2 aired in Canada, it was all over as far as scheduling, because, well, we know what's going to happen. We know who's going to show up. We know who's going to die. We know how the series is going to end. So we basically know what toys are going to come out. And the most interesting kinds of things that came out, as far as the toys go, came out through other channels, not from Hasbro. It seems that there are only two people or things in Season 2 that won't have a toy, and that's Botanica and the big freaking head, which means Stryka will have a toy, which is interesting, I guess. In fact, the only thing that was good or bad, actually bad if you think about it, about the Hasbro panel were the questions, and they were terrible, and they were constant. Not like one or two bad questions that happened at the other panels. I mean, these things came one after another, and it's embarrassing. I mean, if we have so many people at BotCons nowadays, you're going to get wackos. But why they always get their hands on the microphone, I'll never know. We had things like people asking for mail-order parts, like a sword to Fortress Maximus. Why didn't Hasbro make those parts and have them for mail-order? Well, I'm not even going to begin to answer that one. Also, Headmaster RC. We'd like a Headmaster RC. Every year, same person asks that. I mean, can't they have, like, a picture of this guy and show everybody who handles the microphones? Don't give him the stick, man. You know what he's going to say. You know what he's going to ask. And by far, the worst question at the panel for Hasbro was some guy got up and called the mutants vomitous and berated Hasbro for making mutants. And he just went off on how bad mutants are. Now, let me just say this. I don't like mutants at all. I don't like the fact that they don't have a robot mode. I don't like the fact that they're organic. I don't like organic stuff. I had to watch the show Beast Wars and get into that show before I got into the toys. And I got into the toys for Beast Wars because of the show, because I liked the show so much. Better than anything else on TV, and I was so impressed with the way they handled the Transformer mythos. Now, having said that, I don't like mutants. I do have respect for what Hasbro is and what they've done and what they've given us. They don't have to do anything for us. They don't have to make anything. They could make Optimus Prime cookie jars and be done with it. They don't have to make toys for us. They don't have to keep Transformers alive. Really. I mean, they're a big enough company. They can do anything they want. So I'm grateful and respectful of that company. And there's no way I would ever get up and embarrass myself and them like that guy did. Okay. moving on to the auction. I didn't attend the auction, the charity auction, but thank God it was for charity because some of those prices were nuts. $600 plus for a Primal Prime, and I could see Glenn Hallett, who was running the auction, was obviously and visibly shocked at that price. I mean, there's too much money in this world, and the worst part is earlier on Saturday morning, a Primal Prime went for like $90 at the Japanese table, and everybody was shocked at that, but looking back, it was probably a bargain. And finally, on Sunday, nothing much happened. People said goodbye, people were starting to leave, and the 3H panel took place, and the big two things that came out of that were, from now on, questions at all the panels will be screened, thank God, and a little over 1,400 people attended this year's BotCon, which is kind of surprising at first, but you know, the more I think about it, I guess that's about right. You can make a pretty good estimate for the total attendance based on pre-registrants, because BotCon is not cheap, and if you're going to go, go in style and go all the way, says I. And finally, to wrap up the ATT buzz for this week, everybody at ATT is basically talking about BotCon, which is what I spent the last few minutes talking about way too much. So, to wrap this puppy up, here are a few tidbits on toy releases and sightings that have come across ATT in the past few days. Mega-sized Megatron for Beast Machines is being spotted in stores, which is good news if you're out for that guy. The deluxe toy in a box with a giant cloak, basically. And it seems like he's shipping with the second installment of the two Ultras, Jetstorm and T-Rex, which is a good sign because if Hasbro's already needing to send out second shipments of those two Ultras, it stands to reason that they're selling pretty darn well, and everybody likes to see that, whether you like Beast Machines or not, like me. You want to see Transformers thrive and succeed because it keeps the line going. It keeps Hasbro in a good mood to our favorite toys. Also, as far as car robots goes, well, several dealers, including WYSIWYG, have put up Cybertron City, the Fortress Maximus repaint, up for pre-order. WYSIWYG has them for $150, although, if you look at the fine print, WYSIWYG does reserve the right to change the price whenever they want, and nobody knows how much Cybertron City is going to cost, so that $150 price tag is pretty meaningless, if you think about it. Also, colored pictures of God Magnus showed up on the internet, and he looks pretty nice. His legs are a little big, but you could tell that from the unpainted prototype shots that his proportions were a little off, a little like a JRX part, but that's okay. The only problem I have really with God Magnus is the colors. He's just too white, and he has no red on him at all, which would have gone a long way to making him mesh a little better, a lot better, with Fire Convoy. And it does look like God Magnus merges with Fire Convoy and not Super Fire Convoy, which is kind of disappointing but kind of expected because three layers of stuff on one toy is just overkill, and there's no way they can make him anything but an Ultra Brick. Not that Fire Convoy is a super poseable ballerina as it is. But that's the ATT buzz. I'm out of news. I'm out of breath. So for this week, I am John DeLuna.
When your parents ask you where you are on Friday nights, tell them that you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. They won't know any better.
And thanks there, John. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron, which I was at BotCon, by the way. I wasn't there, as I reiterated many times last week, though I was there in spirit. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is Zobivor. It's good to hear Zob. Here he is.
You know, I see a lot of complaints about Hasbro on Alt Toys Transformers. They obviously have no idea how to make toys. They've ruined Transformers. They don't do anything to please the fans. We should impeach them right now. Frankly, and I'm sorry, but there are so many things that they are doing very right at the moment, and I don't know whether people just take them for granted, or whether they don't see them, or whatever, but there are three things that I'd like to talk about. And they're all kind of interrelated, and they all have to do with what Hasbro is doing right. One of them is the price point of the toys. For those of you who remember Generation 1 when it first came out, those toys were very expensive for toys. action figures did not used to run $7 or $8 a pop. That was, I think that was a McFarlane invention, actually. Action figures usually ran about $2 or $3. I got most of my Ninja Turtles figures for right around $3.99, I believe. When I was a kid, I used to get Star Wars figures for something like $1.79, something around there. You know, toys were cheap back in the day. Along comes a little toy line called Transformers that you may have heard of. And these toys are like $20? Insane. I'm sorry. That's all it is. Yeah, you got your little guys like Bumblebee, who ran for, you know, $3 a pop, and that was cool. It's one of the reasons so many kids that I knew in school had the minibots, because they were the only ones they could afford. But, like, take Generation 1 Starscream. He's a really great example. He retailed for about $20, very expensive toy, and he really doesn't do anything. He's got parts you can lose. In robot mode, his arms move. Oh, and you can pose his guns, and he kind of sort of shoots them. He can hurt an Autobot if the Autobot was standing, you know, 6 inches in front of him. Maybe. There was also the matter of posability. Back in the day, it was really cool when you could find a Generation 1 toy who had moving parts that didn't have to do with the transformation. And posing the arms so they can shoot their guns at people, I consider part of the transformation. You have to be able to raise your weapon to be an effective warrior in the Autobot Decepticon War. But, you know, Soundwave was one of the coolest toys because his elbows bent. You know, oh wow, his elbow's moving. He doesn't even need to do this to transform. Oh cool, Optimus Prime's knees can bend, and he doesn't even need this for the transformation. That's what we had back then. Posability sucked, by and large, for most of the original Transformers. The third thing is the die-cast metal issue. I know that a lot of people are fond of the die-cast metal. Oh, bring back the die-cast metal! I don't want it. It makes a toy feel heavier in your hand, and it makes him feel like he's of a better quality. You know, there's something about metal and robots that I guess is kind of appealing, but all of the die-cast metal toys that I own, the paint is chipping on them. Starscream, the paint is coming off of Starscream's chest. I've got paint coming off of Optimus Prime's chest. I've got paint coming off of Bumblebee's back. I've got paint coming off of Sandstorm's toes. All this die-cast metal eventually, because you see, when I was a kid, I played with my toys. Some kids did that, and I, you know, it would wear down. You don't need to paint plastic, because plastic can be whatever color you want it to be. Now let's look at your average Transformer today. As far as the price point goes, you've got your basic Beasts. Those are $5. Well, Beast Machines, now they're $6, but you get the point. For the Generation 1 line, for $6, you could get, like, a Constructicon or a two-pack of cassettes. I remember ran for $6. Your basic Beasts are $5, $6. Your deluxe Beasts are $10. That's really the average right there. Because, sure, you've got the occasional Mega Beast, which runs for $15. That's a little bit more. And that's the average price for, you know, like a Headmaster or a Target Master, I believe. You've also got two Ultra Beasts every year, and those run for $20. Okay, it's a little more expensive. But that's how much you would have had to have paid for, you know, Megatron or the original Optimus Prime. And you've got your oddities like Optimal Optimus and Supreme Cheetor, but they don't count because they're not really part of the regular line any more than Fort Max was part of the regular Generation 1 line. And in fact, during the Generation 1 line, starting with Metroplex and Triptychon, Hasbro seemed to make it a point to come out with two city bases every year. And as far as the posability goes, of course, the posability of all Beast Wars and Beast Machines toys are exceptional compared to just about any Generation 1 toy. They have moving parts all over the place that have nothing to do with the transformation. And then, of course, the die-cast metal issue is no issue at all, because none of the... I should say very very few of the Beast Wars and Beast Machines toys have them. Or at least they don't have entire, huge, large body sections made up of this metal. Metal which has to be painted, and the paint will eventually chip. And yes, to an extent, affects the price of the toy. Hasbro is doing these things right, at the very least. I mean, there are so many things that I would love for them to do that they haven't done and probably won't do. I'd love to see some classic vehicles. I'd love to see, like, you know, Lamborghinis and Porsche Transformers again. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Not anytime real soon, anyway. I'd love to see the original Generation 1 characters in brand new superposable forms. Really hoping to see a new Starscream as an F-15 with 16 points of articulation, missile-firing weapons that actually fired. He kind of looks like his cartoon self. I would really have loved that, but it's not going to happen. So I think that Hasbro has done a lot of things to improve on Transformers immensely. And actually, there's a fourth factor that I forgot to mention. The durability of the toys has greatly improved. Another reason that the Generation 1 toys are so rare and so expensive is because they always broke. You know, you've got Blue Streak's windshield, you've got Mirage's waist. The thing is, you know, the original Transformers, the original molds, which were created as Diaclone toys, I really don't think were meant to be played with as toys. I believe they were probably intended to be collector pieces. Hasbro imported them, tried to make them into children's playthings, and it just didn't, literally, they just didn't hold up. So what Hasbro did is redesign, you know, rethink their design philosophy and make toys that were indestructible, but of course the transformations were much simpler. I despise Chrome Dome, the headmaster. Stupid rinky-dink Transformer. He's basically a My First Transformer. Sure, you'd have to take to him with a sledgehammer in order to break him, but God, I hate the toy. Little stumps for arms and little stumps for feet, and yeah. Horrible toy. Hate it, I tell you. I hate it. But I digress. Nowadays, you've got superposable Transformers that are highly resistant to damage. One of the reasons is because of the ball and socket joints. It's real easy to rip the arm off of an old Generation 1 toy like Optimus Prime. You can't do that with a Beast Wars toy, really. It'd be very difficult to break one accidentally. You'd probably break one intentionally, but you know. What this all amounts to is that I really wish people would just stop complaining about all the things that Hasbro isn't doing, and at least take a step back and notice some of the things that Hasbro is doing to make Transformers a successful toy line. And that's it for me. So this is Zababor, signing off.
Radio Free Cybertron.
And thanks there, Zob. Personally, I prefer the Diaclone toys. I mean, you know, they're not Briggs. You know, well, maybe compared to stuff like, you know, Beast Wars toys. But they're somewhat posable. Not, you know, not very. But, for example, Mirage, he can bend his arms, his waist, his arms and his waist. And, but, you know, he looks cool. He has a great, you know, car mode. It doesn't look stupid like, speaking of Bricks, Power Master Getaway, who, you know, is like a My First Transformer. I like the Diaclone toys. The stuff that followed, though, you know, I'm not so keen on. Other stuff that I do like would be the Scramble City type Gestalts. I like those. But for G1, that's really about it. I mean, I'm mainly a G1 fan, and I prefer G1 toys because, I don't know, nostalgia factor, I suppose. It's harder for me to be critical of a G1 toy that I had as a kid or that I wanted than it is for me to be critical of, say, Low Convoy, who's pretty much crap. That's a good way to describe Low Convoy. Huh, I will. We agree. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is something that I almost didn't air in its entirety. Because, I'm, you know, but somewhat controversial, it's Mott Boy with Ask RSC. He's not afraid to push the boundaries of free speech. And I practice free speech. I'm not a censor. I censor stuff all the time, okay? But, you know, he would be mad if I didn't play it. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my mouth right now. So, but, keep in mind that, keep in mind his, disclaimer. The views and opinions of Mott Boy do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of RFC. So, here is Mott Boy with Ask RFC.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. We'll be right back.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy here. Now, BotCon is just 1 week closer, and I... What? What do you mean, BotCon's over? Damn it, I missed it again. Anyway, it sounds like this year's BotCon was... okay. It had some pretty good exclusives, but it sounds like some people missed out on it. But then again, that's BotCon for you.
The views and opinions of Mupboy do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Cybertron, nor anyone else for that matter.
Tonight's first letter is from Azrael, and he writes, "Where did you get the sound clip of Primal saying... I don't remember that in the show. I think it was before our review in the beginning of the July 7th episode. Nope. None of the above. If you played the new Beast Wars Transmetals game, you'll notice that it's part of his profile. Of course, his profile isn't as good as mine. The next letter is from Greg Galb, and he writes, RFC. How come all the people who send in questions for RFC are such losers? How come Goldimus has such a whiny voice?
But no. Nah, I'm just kidding you, Alex.
How come John DeLuna isn't the host of RFC?
You know, there's something wrong with that.
How come Trans Talk sucks and RFC kicks hella ass? Laters, Greg. Well, Greg, first of all, people who send in questions aren't as cool as me. Goldimus is in touch with his feminine side, John DeLuna doesn't have that southern accent, and of course Trans Talk has, how shall we say, departed. But thanks for the letter, Greg. Anyway, I've got a whole year to save up for the next BotCon. So, if anybody wants to, go ahead and send me some money. You can PayPal that money to Mopboy, that's MOP-BOY, at cybertron.tf.
You know, there's something wrong with that.
Well, that's all the letters we can read for tonight. This is your friendly neighborhood Mopboy saying...
And, thank you there, Mop Boy. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron, is Rattrap 007 with trivia.
Hello, everyone. This is Rattrap 007 again with my trivia. Well, it's kind of been interesting. Last week's question was, which two of the original Autobots were brothers? The answer is Sideswipe and Sunstreaker. Believe it or not, I had numerous... people answer this time, as opposed to having one or two. I guess I made the question too easy. Well, here come the people who got it right. Dinko Deo, I'm doing this off of the email server, so it may take me a few seconds. Prometheus X again. Chris McFeely. JPL 7502, Transmus Prime, Falco Wolf, that may be it, or, yes, Samurai 824, otherwise known as Michael Stansel, I believe I'm saying that right. And last one, Clayton J. Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S. I'm pretty sure that's pronunciation. Possibly wrong, but who knows. Oh, well, here comes this question for the week. Who are the first two Autobots to use the re-energizer chambers in Attack of the Autobots? Everyone got that? Good. Now it's time to end the segment. Hope to hear from you all this week.
Good luck, and goodbye.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
And thank you there, Rat Trap. Coming up on Radio Free Cybertron right now, and if I laugh at Goldimus, well, if I laugh, you won't hear it. But I'm going to start playing Goldimus randomly throughout the show, because that clip that Mop played is funny. Same thing with John. I'm going to start playing everyone, random clips of everyone. Or not, I don't know. But I always find the Ask RFC funny, because Mop Boy just doesn't care about anything. Oh well. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is Goldimus Prime with a review of a Transmetal 2 Dinobot.
Alright, this week I'm reviewing Transmetal 2 Dinobot, the Predacon Transmetal 2 Velociraptor, based on the Maximal toy of the same name. Now, these technically aren't supposed to be the same characters, original Dinobot and Transmetal 2. Transmetal 2 is a clone of the original Dinobot, and made Transmetal 2 with Megatron's MacGuffin device. That's just what we like to call it, that Transmetal 2 driver. A MacGuffin is a plot element that appears out of nowhere and only functions for one purpose. Anyway, let's see. Transmetal 2 Dinobot was the first Beast Wars toy I bought when my Transformers obsession resurged a little more than a year ago. And he's probably my favorite smaller Beast Wars toy. Let's see. Velociraptor mode, Beast mode. I don't know why I called it Velociraptor mode. It's done a lot better than the originals was. You can see how the technology has improved over the last few years. Transformation steps are about the same. Let's see here. Robot legs become undercarriage for the beast mode. Beast legs become robot arms. You know the deal. Let's see. Actually. His tail alone is probably 6, maybe 7 inches long. I really ought to start bringing my ruler out here when I do these reviews again. Let's see here. He's got some fairly good articulation in beast mode. Even an opening jaw. He's got a nice skeletal look to him, which I think is pretty cool. His tail, which is made of a soft rubber so it can swing back and forth, it looks like a unskinned, unmuscled vertebrae. I don't know. Like the bones in your spine. And then his velociraptor head looks very much like a skull. Even down to a hole in the bottom of his jaw. Let's see. Transformation is pretty simple. Straightforward and intuitive, really. You might have to run through it once or twice with the instructions, ha ha ha, to get the general feel for it, but it's not that hard, really. Robot mode, not as good looking as the beast mode is, definitely. Let's see. He stands maybe 5 inches tall. Getting a little feedback there. Guess I better get a little farther from my mic. Stands about 5 inches tall, and his arms are almost that long by themselves. In fact, if you straighten them out, they do just about touch the ground. He has claw-type hands. 3 fingers, including a thumb, and then 1 very large claw on each hand. I think the original idea was to have the big claw on the top be posable separate from the thumb. Instead, they're on the same swivel, so it kind of creates a problem when you're trying to bring the claws forward as a weapon, unfortunately. Also, he's supposed to be able to hold his tail as a weapon, but his joints are too weak, and the peg is too short, I think, to fit in the peg hole in the tail. and it kind of flops down and falls apart. Well, it looks better on his butt anyway. He was repainted in more brighter colors, I guess I should say. Like, the original issue was kind of ivory color, like an off-white, almost creamish color, with dark blue. The second edition was brighter bone white with lighter blue color. Both feature the same, I don't know, magenta metallic red transmetallization parts. Let's see. I don't want to make this too long-winded. I got file sizes to think of and everything. Let's see here. He's got some pretty good molding in his robot head. He looks a lot more like Dinobot than the first toy did. Of course, you have to keep in mind the toys came before the show models, but... let's see. I wasn't too hot on them making a new Predacon Dinobot, especially after the way the first one died. But the toy certainly does the name justice, I think. Even if the robot mode is a little, wacky. Well, I don't know how wacky you might find it. He's got shoulder pads, which sit about half an inch above his actual shoulders. I don't know. Keep him in beast mode, that's all I gotta say. I'm gonna give Dinobot here an 8 out of 10. He's my favorite Transmetal 2 Deluxe, easily. Especially since I only ever owned Transmetal 2 Cheetor besides him, and he sucks. This is Goldenmuth Prime for Radio Free Cybertron.
I can't deal with that now.
And thank you, Goldie. Coming up right now, finally, on Radio Free Cybertron, is the current installment of Bad Poets Corner. Hero. Every hero has a code. It's just the way things are. Danger and excitement are his abode, adventuring from star to star. You will know one when you see one, from just one look into his eye. He never leaves a thing undone as he reaches past the sky. In all his actions, all his deeds, many go unsaid. A true hero's name is Bronn, and he is not dead. Short on material, nothing more to say. I said it all and more, and still some more today. When you listen to this show, there is just one thing that you must know. My email address, brian@tfradio.com. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week and watch out for John Luna's pictures from BotCon. Again, thanks for listening.
Let's go.